Welcome everybody. Welcome everybody. So it is PMP Weekly episode 100. It is 12th of October 2020. It took us 100 episodes to get here, which is awesome. So it is the episode 100. And in the PMP Weekly, we always talk about the latest on the Microsoft 365 on the platform or in general. So not just the dev stuff, Microsoft Teams, SVFX, SharePoint, OneDrive, Microsoft Graph, and all of that stuff. My name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in the OneDrive SharePoint engineering side. And with me as a co-host is a no longer a new Microsoft employee, but you are.
No, I'm not. No, I am not. I am officially through my NEO, which is the new employee orientation week or few days. So yes, my name is Valdemar Stigash. I am cloud developer advocate at Microsoft for Microsoft 365. And today we have a guest who from we'll this point on is our host.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of weird, Canada, no?
From Canada, Office Apps and Services MVP. Head of product at Valo, Sébastien Levert.
Thanks, guys, for having me. So happy to be able to turn everything upside down today. You have no clue what's going to happen. Actually, you might have some ideas, but you actually have no clue about all the questions and everything I have in mind. Yeah. You might have seen on Twitter in the last couple of days that there was some cool question being asked left and right on Twitter. There was a forum running out that was there kind of collecting questions from the community. And I wanted to kind of celebrate that episode 100. I think it's important to kind of mark this moment as a really, really interesting milestone, really a huge achievement. It's hard to do more than two podcasts and not give up anyways. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Now we're at episode 100, and I really see that you guys are on a streak. I don't think there's going to be anything that will stop you. I just hope we're going to get to episode 1,000 at some point in like 20 years. I don't know how many.
Yes. That's
something like that.
Yeah, probably Vessel will be retired already and everything. But anyway.
What would you do anyway, right?
Yes. There you go. And today, basically, I kind of collected a bunch of questions from the community. Have a couple of questions for you. I don't want to talk too much about tech, but I really want to kind of talk about what's behind all of that. What are the two guys that are hosting who are the two guys that are hosting the PNP or SP Dev Weekly? I think it has another name. It had another name before.
It had, yes.
It had, yes.
So whatever the name is now.
PMP Weekly.
Exactly. PMP Weekly. Hashtag PMP Weekly, not SP Dev Weekly or whatever.
Correct.
And the first thing, I'd like you to guys maybe tell me a little bit more about why. Why this all started. What was the gap? What did you try to fill with PMP Weekly back then? And how did, like, episode 1 versus episode 100, what changed between episode 1 and episode 100?
At least the speaker or the host has changed.
My job.
Your job.
Yeah, but I think we started like 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, or two years ago, roughly.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years. Then we had a summer breaks a few times, and that's it. So that's why it's 100 now. I think one of the things what we started, we're trying to figure out how can we promote the community people more. So we were already doing the monthly summary, where we are acknowledging people who are contributing in open source and community and samples. But then how can we amplify and make sure that people know about the awesome MVP articles, the community articles, and all of that stuff which is out there. So what people actually contribute for the benefit of others. So we didn't really have the monthly summary which we write, which is what I'm currently writing for this month as well. It's more around who contributed on the open source, who contributed on docs. But it really doesn't call out across the community all of the cool articles and blog posts and all of that stuff, what is being done. So we're trying to figure out what was the right way of doing that. And I think actually it was Chris Kent who originally suggested that, hey, should we have a every single Friday as a summary blog post, which would then list all of the things and we would acknowledge them, which would have been one way of doing that. But then we kind of elaborated on that option, and then do we do a blog podcast or a video blog, and then we combined everything to one. Would that be the right way of putting that, Valde?
Yeah, actually, interesting, because I didn't know the part about Chris. So I wasn't apparently involved in that.
It might have been only as a Chris suggesting that to me. But anyway, I remember that he was saying that that's actually a great idea of kind of promoting other people. Because I think everybody in the BNP, the mentality and the BNP thinking is really about making sure that the awesomeness what the community does is being raised on the podium. So yes, that the people get value out of their contribution, because they typically do that outside of their work. So they spend their evenings or weekends or whatever time they have, they choose to do that for the benefit of others rather than for the let's say even for the family, which always health first, then family, then work, and then hobbies. But anyway, but getting credits out of that, so
yeah,
promoting
people. There's also another aspect that if you are new in community, like you might have like it will take time for you to get traction to reach folks, right? And what our goal was for a part with a webcast was to use the reach that we already have, and as I said, like put others first and let them lift on that, basically reach people whom we already know, who know about us, and let them like more easily reach community, become a part of that, as opposed to having to wait year or 2 years time until you build up that reach and the momentum.
Yeah, and I think we've seen some of these members even being mentioned in the early days and now being awarded MVP since then, because they started to get that recognition. And then I think I can say it myself as an MVP, recognition brings also that you just want to do more. You just
exactly.
Go in and you blog more, you commit more. You
enforces your drive, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think you guys might have created a couple of MVPs, which I think is absolutely fabulous. So
We're encouraging people to become MVPs. We're not creating MVPs. So no. Just to be
yes, that, but it's bad word. It's, bad word from from my side. Okay. But I think you guys with all these efforts, I think it definitely gives people the willingness and just a small tap in the back that they need to say, hey, what you're doing is
this
great.
Is cool. Yes.
Just continue. Yeah. Now we're at episode 100. What was the biggest challenge getting to episode 100?
Like if I look at myself, like the one thing that we've never had really, even if I go all the way back to episode one, we've never had a big plan, you know, this big plan, like let's do it for this and this years and let's make like backlog of 5 episodes and then we release them. No, just like we will do one and then the next week we will do another. And then the week after that, we will do another. And it's like, so that is the one thing that we've never had. Like it never was struggle. It never was a something we had to do. It just happened. Like it just got a spot in my calendar personally, and it just became a part of my weekly work. Like this is what I do, period. And there's no like, you know, a big content plan around it or a plan for the whole year agenda. Sure, we have some ideas about guests and people we want to have on the show at times, but often it's more like 3 episodes away or 4. That's it. Like there's no bigger plan. So on my end, I don't really see so far we haven't really had any big issues, because there is like we've seen, if there is one thing that we have seen over the last 2 years, is that there is only more and more content, and because community grows so much, there's always somebody who says something. So I guess maybe the biggest challenge is for us to see all of that. And we see that folks help us with that a lot. They tag articles, they tag samples, they bring it to our attention so that we can help these new members get some of this site that we have and basically like reach folks with their writing and code.
Yeah,
that's absolutely that's awesome. I've been part of a couple of these episodes, and there's not a lot of content strategy happening around that.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
We're perfectly organized, right?
No. And obviously, if you think about it, it's one of those things where we we don't even want to plan too strictly on the content, because obviously the visitor is the person who sets the scene. And then in many cases, it's really around starting a discussion with the visitor and then jumping on topics and then going through there. And then like Waldeck said, I'm actually losing my point. The key, there's so much content throughout the week, and we really, we actually talked about this one even earlier today with Waldeck in a different context. We really want to make sure that we repeat the goodness what is being released by Microsoft or by community, by MVPs every single week, rather than doing those big bang moments. Because the problem with the big bang moments is that, well, like Ignite 2020, absolutely awesome delivery remotely and everything else, but there was like 57 different blog posts getting released on the exact same day. So how can you, individual blog posts and individual feature releases do not get the needed attention? So then going back and repeating that same message or doing recap blog posts and articles and all of that stuff throughout the years will then amplify again the feature. So
excellent. Amplification is all about what you guys are doing, so that's great. You said you kind of ruining my next question, but I still want to hear it. You said you don't have a big plan. You don't know where you're going. Do you see yourself getting to 200, for instance? Do you want to get to 200, 300?
Yes. I think that's the big plan. Yes. Consistency. So,
and I guess so going back to what you said about plans, we don't have maybe a plan for podcast, but there is our webcast, but we definitely have a plan for PNP as a whole, right? So as you've already seen based on the name, right? Originally, it would be SP Dev Weekly, like very specific targeted SharePoint dev. At some point, I believe the next rename that we had was PNP Dev Weekly. And at some point, we said like, no, it cannot be only about dev because there is so much more, right? There are makers, there are IT pros, right? So at that point, we said, well, it's PNP Weekly now. So it's all about community. What's going on around M365 in community? And I guess that is, you could say, our ambition to have PNP as this M365 wide initiative covering all services, all audiences that we have, and basically work around that as opposed to having like being a very niche for a very specific audience, because M365 is a broad platform, right? And I guess there's so much value for everybody to get out of that as long as people know and understand what can be done, how, and where do you go in case you have question or you want to see more.
Yeah. And elaborating on that one also, just to be clear, it doesn't mean that we would own that community. No. It's just using that amplification and channel together with all of the other engineering teams and cloud advocates and marketing on reaching out to the MVPs and then the product community, because obviously MVPs is just a subset of the community. But it's just making sure that the message and visibility and, let's say, goodwill from Microsoft side as well is known across the world. So, and that generates, again, goodwill. I think the positivity and goodwill always has a positive impact. It's never negative.
Exactly. I think it's interesting. While you were saying that, Lisa, the only thing I was able to think about, and that will be extremely cheesy, like very, very easy, but it relates so strongly to the Microsoft vision, to the Microsoft mission, to empower everybody. Yes. And I think you guys are kind of giving the tools, giving the opportunities for everybody to feel empowered. I think that's great to hear that it's not going to stop tomorrow when we publish this guy out. That's it. We're done. We did 100 scorecard check.
Yes.
No.
No. That's actually, but that is a good point. The scorecard thinking. Unfortunately, in many of the companies, it is a scorecard driven thinking, which is around the fiscal year and objectives and quarterly objective, which we have to have as well. But then on top of that quarterly and fiscal year level thinking, we need to have something which is sustainable. And then that sustainable models, like let's say something which keeps on repeating, Scott Hanselman has numerous things which just keep on repeating, you know that those will be there. And that brings also safety for the community, because they know that, well, it doesn't matter if I'm able to do something right now today for this week, the thingy will promote me on next week whenever it's available. So having that safety net is also super important. And not just think about the quarterly or fiscal year objectives, because we've seen those in the past, unfortunately, in certain areas, and those are not successful.
Well, and I guess on that, like, there is another way you could look in at it, is to say, well, maybe the objective that we have is the what, but then community is the how, really.
Definitely.
Right, because at some point, like, we imagine that at some point we say, well, we want to spend some more time around, let's say, graph, because there are new things available, or teams, because there are new features and new investments, and we want to bring those up and let everybody know that these are new areas in which they or which they can explore more. Community is how we do it, right? We have webcasts, we have docs, we have learning paths, we have code samples. Exactly, right? So this is more the how, and sure, the what might change, but the how is there to say, because community is people, and there will never be a substitute for communicating with others, because it's people. Is this right? So
I love it. I think it's all about people here, and our business is all about people. And even when you work in an organization, even if you're not considered a community per se, it's all about engaging with the people and making sure that we all have the same goal. Based on that, a little bit of a curveball for you. Now that you're both at Microsoft, who's going to be your reality check?
Well, that is a good question.
We have a guest on the show, you know? So Seth, where can we do better?
So see, Waldeck, we lost all of the credibility now that you came from Microsoft. So
what did I do?
You use the credibility to hire him in Microsoft, but then he lost everything. So I guess the guest will still be in your plans to make sure that there's really someone from outside of the Microsoft world, or maybe inside the Microsoft world, depending on weeks, but that is bringing you another kind of angle to your discussion, right?
So there are two angles, like there is this show that we do, and we strive to have a guest, which is just basically having somebody else than us tell how they see the ecosystem, the opportunities, and so forth and so on. But then there's also broader plan in PNP, right? PNP is community of people outside Microsoft, not non-MVPs. Then there are MVPs, and then there are product groups, the marketing team, us, right? So it's you could say a layered cake, that we need that. Like, we cannot just stay in our own bubble and say, you know, this is it. Because like that gives you only the one side of equation. It only tells you we have an idea and we intend something to work like that. But then there is the reality check versus like people's needs. And then there's us, yes, but we can use the same thing for this. Or how about these other five things that we want to do and for which there is like no clear answer now, right? So like the one example that is stuck in my head is Excel. Excel was originally designed as what? Like something else than what people used it for, whereas people used it to build tables. Seriously, like it was built as this really fancy tool to do these complicated things, and in the end, people used it to build tables because it's just the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like this dynamic between what is intended, ideas that we have, but also the reality check and what is going on actually in the field in which we are currently not in anymore.
Which is anyway, especially in the PM side of the world in Microsoft, which is getting pushed more and more and more, which is great, which is the reality check. So having the connection together with MVPs and community. And that's obviously going to help on having the reality feedback. And that's why we are encouraging all the time the community to tell us what works, what doesn't, because.
But I guess, Seb, in your role, like you are head of product, you have to experience exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
We're pushing to the choir.
I know. But it's always a it's easy to be kind of set in a mindset to be brought in and being fixed in that. And I think in that question that I just asked was asked by Dwight on our on the forum, and I found that it was a really good way for you guys to kind of express that, because I really feel that even if you're in or out of that monster that is Microsoft, that huge organization, I think today I don't see Microsoft to be a company that is fully disconnected from its community. And I think you guys are very, very good examples of that, but there's many, many, many more within the organization.
But that's actually, so before you go forward, just quickly 1 minute on that one. That's actually something which used to be more the case in the past, certainly. The fact that when somebody gets recruited in Microsoft, he disappears, right?
Yeah.
It was basically the person was like, poof, and gone. and then you next time you see the person, it's like he's basically talking us inside of the bubble. And you're like, what happened? And I think more and more we are heading to the direction where people are, let's say, not losing that mentality and not losing the mentality of, okay, we'll fix this. One step at a time, we'll get on fixing things. And then keeping the mindset and keeping the real connection to the field. So personally, I just broke the 14 years in Microsoft, which is mind-blowing that I'm able to be here 14 years. But 8 years of that, I was a consultant. So I was working with customers. And I, after moving into the engineering, it was all about, okay, not obviously fixing things like that, but one step at a time, trying to fix the things and do not never, ever, ever, ever lose that mentality. Because if you lose the mentality, then it's all about what's my scorecard, execute this. What's my scorecard? Execute this. Because that's, well, you can do that and you can be successful in that as well. But again, if you really want to have a wider impact, that's not necessarily the right option.
So let's move on to another area that I wanted to kind of ask you a couple of questions today. You guys are living abroad. So Waldeck, you're in the Netherlands.
No. I live at home. You guys live abroad.
Okay, we're all abroad from each other. I don't know if it's something we can say. And a couple of people in the community have noticed that, or almost noticed that, it seems like you're always online, always responding, liking, retweeting, posting, and everything. I'd like to hear what's your recipe for, even though you're working fully remotely and everything, what's the recipe to a great work-life balance when you're fully working from home?
I would say that I am not the right person to ask that. No, seriously, it's like...
No, but it's highly subjective. What is the work-life balance? And
like to anything else. Like, there is perception, there is the outside image of me doing things, and there is like how I see things on my end. So actually, it's interesting because the way I feel is that for the last, I don't know, call it 6 years, the amount of stuff that I've been doing externally declined. Whereas like I feel that before then, like I've been doing like twice as much. Sure, I mean, meanwhile I got kids, things have changed, right? So it's not like I am sitting not doing anything at the time, but there's like difference, right? But I mean, with regarding the output, it's still interesting to hear that people have idea that I still do so much, because to me it's like, no, it's actually I'm doing less and I feel bad about it because I still have so many ideas and there is just not enough hours in a day. Plus, I mean, the age, like after 30, like things go down, like you get...
But you're already past 30?
Yes, just barely.
Just
I thought he was 25.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
There you go. In these days, like we age twice as hard. So even there are things like, well, there are days when I feel less energized and I have, it's like so, there's a good days, bad days, and I balance that too, right? So like everyone else, it just not always shows, right? And we like, especially nowadays, right, when everything is going on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, like we get the impression that everybody else is doing so awesome and it's just us that suck. The reality is everybody has something, right? And the moment it clicks, like the moment you connect with folks and talk to them openly about it, everybody has something. And then like that is the reality check that gives me at least the confidence and just the calmness, like, Well, yeah, I mean, sure, there are days where things are worse, and that's okay. And eventually, things will change, be better, improve, and I will be doing more then. But now, I will do a little less, and it's perfectly fine, and the world will not stop.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I think it's great for your own personal balance. Yes, you'd like to offer to the world your greatness and your amazing ideas, but also there's a family at home that wants to have you, and I think that it's definitely more than okay to feel less energized sometimes and just move on.
Yeah.
And I obviously, well, it's highly subjective, that really make me smile, because you want to offer your greatness to the world, because I would never actually consider myself as great.
I was talking about Waldeck.
No.
I was talking about Waldeck.
Exactly. There we go.
There's like good, great, and best, right?
Yeah,
no. I would never consider myself.
No. It's more about the imposter syndrome problems and all of that. But it's as long as you do and find a work which you actually feel passionate about, you can just keep on going as well. And you feel kind of empowered by helping others, peoples. And whatever we're doing here, a lot of the stuff is actually helping others. And making sure it's not about it's making sure that the others can find more visibility, their stuff is being found by other people, and raising them on podium. And that mentality at least helps me tremendously on pay. I have here, I'm sitting in a sofa on an evening and watching just TV series is dropping. Well, let me go on Twitter and see if somebody has something interesting. And then you have a look on things.
Oh, there goes my evening.
But it doesn't feel like work. It's not really work as such. It's I'm being right now. I'm super blessed of getting paid for something which I would love to do anyway. So and sure, yes, I have a 10-hour time difference to the office, which is every now and then slightly hard. But then again, it gives me flexibility throughout the day.
Yeah.
It gives me flexibility from a morning. It gives me flexibility in daytime, so I can run any family errands. And then the meetings start in evening. And sure, the evenings are fully booked from Monday to Thursday. Fridays are family time on evening. But it's not a massive deal.
But that is an interesting point, because last week, Microsoft announced a new policy around the ability for everybody who works at Microsoft to work from home, from other location in the same country, or even another place on Earth.
Yeah.
So I wonder to what extent the difference that you experience now will become a thing for everybody, and then we'll learn to work more efficiently asynchronously.
Yeah. And hopefully that is the direction where we're heading, because I think that gives much more flexibility from a family perspective as well. Because whenever they say something like, my kid is now in third grade and they used to have ice skating practices pretty close by during daytime, and we always got a message from the teacher that if somebody can come and help with it, with tying up the shoelaces, and I'm sure, not a problem, because I have the flexibility during daytime, because I don't have to go to the office, B&B from 9 to 5 from there. So it's really around the perspective as well, and kind of a learning away from the habits of 9 to 5 working. So
that's going to be interesting to see in the future, how we all kind of understand that fully remote work, and especially the async type of thing, being also 7 hours away from my own office is also sometimes a challenge. And I think we'll all learn that in the next couple of years. But I think it's we're on the right path at this point. So that was Arjun that was asking this question. Since the beginning of times, or of the PNP initiative, the PNP initiatives, you guys have been encouraging people to contribute. And I think that's what you're doing by amplifying their voices and everything. How do you see someone that wants to contribute, like someone that is brand new to this, but is inspired, got your message, is like, oh my God, I'd like to be like one of these contributors. How do they start? It can feel a little bit overwhelming to start. How do you start? So Jeremy, a certain Jeremy, I don't know if you know Jeremy. Jeremy Fish.
Hey, Jeremy.
Is asking, how can you make it easier for them? How can PNP in general can make it easier for them?
Yeah. So if we think about what we did, so we have, well, in the BNP initiative, there's the AKMS Sharing is Caring initiative, and driven by David Warner and Hugo Bernier. And it's all about basically helping and to have these are workshops where people can join across the world and then learn how to get started on using GitHub, how to contribute on docs, how to contribute on samples, how to get started on using the tooling. And those been highly successful. I think they crossed more than 50 people attending in September. And because I just got the lists from David as well, and we'll call them out obviously in our messaging as well. But it's the easiest way to really learn on, okay, it is safe to click the edit button. It is safe to click here. Oh, it is this easy. So, and then you basically have the people helping you all the time. And that's been really super, 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 super helpful from David and Hugo on scaling the momentum. And we've been seeing a lot of people then who participated on those things, then participated and continued contributing on docs and contributed on samples. And that's what we want to happen.
So I guess so that would be addressing the problem from the tech side, which is often prerequisite, right? Like you need to know your tools, because otherwise, like, you might have aspiration and the best will, but if you don't know the tools or you don't know how things work, well, you will not do much. Then another thing that I would highly encourage is to find, I don't know, call it a buddy, like pick a project where you want to contribute to, whether it's docs, whether it's certain tool or SDK or something. And basically reach out, ask these folks like, hey, I want to help. Where do I start?
Yeah.
And have somebody basically walk you through it. Like there's like each project has their own team. And that team is more than willing to help you folks on board, because in the end, it helps everybody. It helps us maintainers scale, and it helps us to deliver more value to everyone else. But it all starts with this first touch, like one, yes, you have to know tools, for which nowadays, luckily, we have this initiative. Right. And two, like find a person, like another person who will really walk you through the onboarding steps. Because like in the end, like you could even see it as this is like basically the same way you would get to a new job. There is new toolings, but there's also new processes, the way things work, the way things are organized. And there is nothing making it as easy as to have someone else to help you.
And then actually, if you think about that through layers, and then there's the contributions getting started, and then finding the project and the open source community project where you're contributing. And then whenever you're skilled enough in there, then you can actually start contributing into official SDKs and all of that stuff, potentially, if the engineering teams are willing to take contributions. But again, having that like a funnel of contribution and the level of maturity on understanding what is being expected helps then to also to get those people who are willing to contribute on SDKs maybe. So, and really having that pipeline helps everybody in this journey.
Definitely.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
And I guess like going all the way back, like if you think about like really what is the best place to start? Like if you would reset everything, the best place to start, say thank you. Yeah. If you use anything from PMP, reach out to those people who made it, say thank you. It's as simple as that. That is the first, that is the probably the easiest way for everybody, whether you're a maker, or IT pro, or a dev. Say thank you. Because somebody spent their time to build this tool that helps you. Reach out to them. And that will already start the dialogue of, hey, cool, appreciate that. Is there anything that we can help you with? Do you see? And maybe you won't contribute to code because maybe that's not your thing, but maybe you can help with doing demo on a call. Maybe, but it's just this first step. And I guess that many of us underestimate the power of thank you. You know, it's like, these guys know about it. Like they probably get like 20. No. Never gets old, and it's so powerful. Seriously.
Yeah. And that works in anything, not just in BNP, across the open source, across the communities, across everything. Always start with thank you.
Works, it's right? Just,
yeah. In life.
Yeah. Now we're definitely taking a bigger part of that. You guys have been inspiring for a lot of the community members, I think. You and the PMP initiative in general, but I think by the PMP Weekly, this has been very, very inspiring for people. But David is asking, what inspires you? What keeps you grounded? What brings you to continue wanting to contribute to the community, to do these recordings, to be on the couch and responding to Twitter, to the Twitter feed? What inspires you?
So for me, and that's an interesting thing, because recently I went through, like, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a rediscovery of myself. Like, I wasn't going to Himalayas.
It's called midlife crisis, you know.
So. No. It's not that. But recently I realized that that's basically the way I tick. I'm built that way, that I want to help others. Like, if I know things and that I can share and help others, well, I will do it, because that's the way I'm built, period. It's just the way my mind works. And then another one that really inspires me is Vesa. Seriously, like the endless persistence. Like, yes, it's a marathon, it's a long journey. Like, sure, like, there are ups and downs, you can fix things, but in the end, it's just, if you're persistent, stubborn at times even, you will get there. Seriously, it's just that. It's just like, it's not a, like, don't get, like, nowadays especially, we are all for a quick fix, like social media. Like, you want to watch a movie Netflix on and it's there. Like, everything is for us for grabs. And we are almost not used to anymore to, like, put effort into something and wait for a result to happen. So I guess, like, for me, this is a great, like, the other extreme, like a reality check. No. Like, some, especially the good things, it takes time for them to happen.
Yeah.
And you cannot give up too early, because then you miss all the fun, you know? So, like, for me, is that that's the thing that I try to keep in my mind.
No, and thank you for the feedback on that one. But and also for me, one of the big things is thinking the opportunities for everybody, anybody in the world to be involved, find similar minded people, not being home alone and feeling bad, not having friends or whatever. If you have an internet connectivity, you can get engaged. You'll find people, similar-minded people. You can find a team where you can contribute, and that will hopefully make their life better. So really having that opportunity on helping people across the world, on finding potentially what's meaningful for them, which is hopefully helping others, and facilitating that one. And then keep on just, well, pushing with the same, the positive mentality on these things. And then seeing actually the other people to succeed on that, getting the feedback back, saying, getting those thank yous every now and then, absolutely count as well. But making it, it's almost like a naive way of thinking on hey, there's a new venue for people to find even friends or meaning for their life even in certain sense, because these things do matter. So nobody should be banging their head against the wall with computers at their home. So there are ways, especially this year has been really hard for a lot of the people, because you don't work with your team in the same office. You have then long evenings potentially. You can't meet your friends maybe. Having those opportunities through virtually is a big thing.
And I think from being one of the member of the community, I think it's definitely that feeling of family that inspires a lot of people. And if for both of you, inspiring people is what inspires you, I think that's quite a really cool,
that's a good loop. Positive circle. Absolutely.
Exactly. It just can grow from now on. Guys, before we move on to the community segment where we talk about all of the different blog posts that have been written this week, I'd like to have a little bit of a fire round, a couple of questions, very quick answers.
Keep it coming.
Some will be for one, some will be for the other, some will be for both of you. So I'm going to start with the first one from Paul Bullock. What's up with the color orange, Vesa?
Oh, you mean
the
everything is being orange?
All the different orangey things you have around you.
Yes. So, okay, that's not a super fast answer, but when I was 18 and I moved away from my home and I got the opportunity, and there's a longer history and everything else, which we're not going to deep dive in this call, but I got an opportunity of redoing my own flat, which was a 25 square meter flat in the semi-downtown of Helsinki. I wanted to do something which is completely mine, and I painted all of those walls bright yellow. So it wasn't orange, but it was bright yellow. Because why not? Because it was mine. And this is basically, I can do that. The year bright yellow was kind of my thing. But then I also at some point got connected with my wife, and she's favorite color is orange, which is also weird. And then we start kind of combining those things. And then it just grew to be the color of things. So why orange? The answer is why not? What's wrong with orange? So
why? Because that's how it is. Exactly. I love it. Then for both of you, GIF or JIF?
GIF.
GIF.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm so thankful of that. Another question here for Vess. I have one for you right after Waldeck. How often do you water the plants in your office, Vess?
typically once a week, slightly depends. This one is now starting to look slightly bad, but other than that, and what I'm trying to do is that these are, I'm teaching the trick. So basically, they have a watering system, underwatering system inside of them, so I don't have to water them from top, so they actually have a watering underneath. Whoa, so that keeps the thing good. So it's not all for all of them. So
yeah, because now it's kind of it's a brand now. Like Vessa without plants is not Vessa. So you have to make sure that these are still alive. I'm gonna have to learn because I have a hard time with both of my plants in my office.
No. Underwater thingies, they work. That's the easiest thing. You used to have that on the back.
Yeah, I used to have it, and I had exactly the same thing with the watering system. It didn't work for this guy, so.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Waldeck, so, do you actually play with that guitar?
Yes, I do. Not as much as I'd like to, but once in a while I pick it up. I am self-taught, so I probably play, like, for everybody knowing music, like, that's not playing, but for me it's just fun. It's just another outlet that I have that I do once in a while.
What's your favorite song that you play on it? Rabia is asking, what's your favorite song to play on the guitar?
That would be Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
Amazing. I also get that question a lot with my drum set behind me.
Yes, Ed, do you play them? It's like, no, it's only a show.
It's a green screen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Together mode, me and my drums.
Yeah, exactly. Vessa, since when and why do you present your shoes?
Yeah, so some people have heard the story, but it relates on MCM. So when we were doing master certification for SharePoint trainings, which was 3 weeks on-site in Redmond, and I was an instructor for that for 18 rotations, which was fun time back in 2008 to 2013 or something like that. A long time period, but always I flew into the Redmond and then we did a delivery. But basically attendees paid 18,000 to join to that training. And then they stayed 3 weeks in the class, and then there was a final exam, which wasn't, by the way, easy. So it was super hard to get the certified. I had there 1.5 days of training, like on the second week or third week. And what I used to do in those trainings is that all of a sudden, I'll just keep on teaching and explaining, all of a sudden jump to the podium. So, and then continue by teaching. So no tone change or anything on what I was explaining. And that really actually was a great way of getting those people, let's say, woken up, engaged.
Okay.
And then, oh, what is he doing? And then nothing, no changes whatsoever, and keep on explaining. And then in there, I kind of got to the habit of always taking off my shoes so I can actually jump on the podium, I can jump on the table, I can do whatever I want without causing any havoc. And then it grew to be it's a kind of a feeling of relaxation and readiness when I'm presenting. That's where it's actually from. But I have to say that the one thing which was super weird, the story around that one, ESBC 18. No, in Copenhagen.
Just about to say that.
Yeah, that was absolutely brilliant. So Copenhagen ESBC, the European Chaplain Conference, we had a keynote after Jeff. And Jeff was actually on the front row after his keynote. And then we had multiple people helping me to demos in my keynote. And I jumped to the stage. And there was like 2,000 or 3,000 people in the audience, and jumped to the stage and started talking. And then I'm walking there. I'm like, why is my socks wet?
Did I wet myself?
Did I wet myself or what happened? And then I realized that before Jeff started his session, there was a drumming kind of an
act. Oh, you're right!
They were playing with the water, so it's the whole stage was soaking wet. So I was walking around there completely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
and it was nice to see the recording. I was trying to watch, and I'm an ex-consultant, so I used to be a senior and principal in consulting, in Microsoft Consulting Services, so kind of an act. So in the recording, I was trying to watch the moment when I realized that my socks are wet, but you can't see it, but I still had the clear mind in my head. I'm like, what the...
that's awesome. So... guys, one last question, then afterwards a couple of thank you notes from the community, and afterwards we can move on to the blog post. The last question is actually, I think one of my, I wouldn't say my favorite, but the most tricky one. So it's a two-part question. So wait for my second part. You're going to understand why it's a two-part question. The first part is, who's the best looking member of the PMP community? And the second question is, why is it Hugo Bernier?
You wouldn't be my first vote.
Let's not go into any of these details here. So Hugo made me laugh so much when you sent that question.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great one.
Now know from whom it is, right?
Yes. Exactly.
That was just too obvious, right?
So a couple of comments from community. I wanted them to kind of say thank you, say great job, to inspire you to continue on the next 100, 200, 300. We said 1,000 earlier. I will not take less than 1,000. Tony Paul from Astria saying, you two are doing a great job providing tools and support. Many thanks. Dwight is saying that you guys are amazing. Paul saying, just thank you for everything you do for the community. Arjun is saying that both of you are super, super awesome, using Vesa's voice, which is great, I think. Jimmy Hang is saying that he really loves PNP. Rabia is saying that she's really proud to call you both her colleagues. So that's great. Kevin McDonald saying that it is inspiring to see what you're doing. It inspires him to do more. And finally, David is saying that the community will not be what it is without you. Thanks for all you do. Thank you so much, guys, for allowing me to basically break into your show and drive it for a little bit. It was fun. I hope it was also interesting to be on the other side of the house and answer question and not just be there and listen.
Absolutely. Thank you for being an excellent host. And I guess like everything else in PNP, it's not our show.
Yeah,
it's our show, community show, right?
Community
show. So like we just happen to be on this side of the cam, abroad. But yeah,
guys, you're doing a really, really, really great job. It was fun to be hosting today. I hope this is going to last for as long as it can last. It is on my weekly podcast list. I don't have a lot of these podcasts running, but yours is, and I think it's important to first have fun as a community member. You get to hear your friends sometimes. Oh, I know that guy is talking and everything. It's also fun to stay updated, and also it's inspiring to continue doing our great work. So guys, a big thank you to you both, and I'll turn it over to you, Vesa, if you want to go on and start talking about
articles. Thank you, Seb.
The community does not stop. There's still
absolutely. And thank you, Seb, for being a great host. So we'll do a few words after the articles, definitely still. So our time to ask questions from you.
Not ready.
Okay, weekly articles, just a quick summary on what's happening. There was actually not that much happening in official blog posts this week, which is slightly weird, but I think it's part of the Ignite happened 2 weeks ago, small slowdown, and then we'll keep on having additional things. Now, from last Thursday, European SharePoint Conference, we talked about that the Copenhagen experience was from the European SharePoint Conference, but it's not just about the Europe SharePoint, it is actually across Azure, Microsoft 365. It's just historical reasons, again, that it's ESPC. But there's actually quite a few sessions. We have also Microsoft-driven sessions, and there's at least two sessions where I'm actually personally also joining to answer on Q&A questions if there's anything related on SPFX or PNP.
Kickstart your solution a lot with Microsoft 365 PNP. There you go.
And then I'm taking care of Lucas' session because that would be in 2 a.m. on his time. Yeah, there we go. But have a look on this and have a look on the different sessions which are available. Now, this one is interesting. Microsoft Identity Web is now generally available. So new stuff related on .NET or heading to the .NET 5.0 and gradually getting better identity handling and easier access on things. And this is really around new NuGet packages, and then an improved set of capabilities which are being supported. So additional ways of identifying yourself when you're calling back on the Microsoft 365, as an example, or Microsoft Graph, or other APIs. So, Bill Baer has started blogging again. Good job, Bill. So Bill is in the marketing of Microsoft Search. And there was two different articles from him. So should I stay or should I go? Bookmarks versus promoted results. And what's actually the direction and what they actually mean. And then what are the things, what's happening in the Microsoft Search in the future. So how things are going to be presented. And getting that input there as well. And the second thing was making the most of answers in Microsoft Search. And so talk about what is the answers and what they actually mean and how they're being presented across the Microsoft 365 and how it actually works. So really cool. This one's really cool from Bert, related on finally getting the .NET standard version of the core library. So we had an interesting discussion related on the BMP Sitescore library pretty recently in our quarterly review. BMP Sitescore is the one which has the BMP provisioning engine and all of that stuff. And it's been in the .NET 4.6 version for a long time. It has some, it's kind of a legacy library, but then it has such a wide usage across the world. And it has such a unique features, so we cannot just drop it. So we obviously wanted to now do some cleaning, and in here the image is actually super important. So we're kind of moving away from the classic core, and we're introducing a new targeted for SBO. Well, targeted only for SharePoint Online, and this is also because of the resourcing and focus areas where we will then include the provisioning engine, and then gradually we are moving away, moving to use BMP Core SDK, which is basically Microsoft Graph first SDK. So we're using Microsoft Graph as much as possible behind the scenes, and that also then means that we need to leave behind the on-premises support. So we're kind of leaving an older version behind of the things. There are historical reasons in SharePoint why not all of the APIs are in Microsoft Graph like they should be. So this one is kind of unwrapping that and making it easier to use the classic APIs together with Microsoft Graph. But obviously, everybody should be using Microsoft Graph where possible. And related on that one, actually, that release, then Erwin released a new version of the BMP PowerShell. It is currently in preview. Then in December, it's been intended to go to GA. So that is now using the BMP PowerShell Core. So now you can actually create Azure Functions, which are using PMP PowerShell, the new version, and in the Azure Function 2.0 or 3.x versions. So really cool stuff as well. This has been a long, long, long way of coming. It just took internally in engineering a long time to get the .NET standard version out. And it's good to see that there's a lot of excitement. Paul Bullock had the power of PMP Core SDK running in Raspberry Pi, so that now we have all of these new SDKs, so we can easily access the API surface. Or using the graph through the SDKs as well, and then using a Raspberry Pi on that setup. And Pete Skelly had a nice blog post on providing good feedback. So tears of joy related on those libraries as well. So finally getting everything on the last on the right technology stack, which is really good, and cross-platform as well, so which is really good. Game changer, a lot of buzzwords from Pete, so thank you for that one. So now, this one was from Tomomi, Beginner's Guide to Microsoft Teams Development Bots. And this is, I think she's referring to the official docs as well. No, it's actually, that's the one. But basically referring to the official docs and tutorials and then explaining the different capabilities. So that was the version one, sorry. And this is the number two, which is around bots. So we're really explaining what's possible, why you should be creating bots, how you create the bots, and all of that in Microsoft Teams. So super cool stuff. And it's cool to see that we're using more and more of the Dev2 as well, which is a kind of a cross-technology portal for
well, non-primary Microsoft audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But why wouldn't Microsoft people go here as well? So why not? It doesn't really matter.
No, so it's not that it's not meant for them, but it's not where Microsoft developers typically were in the past.
Sure. That is true as well. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the next one is from AC, the SharePoint Framework 5 WBS and H answered overview. But basically, interesting title, but it's all about these things which are interesting. So what is a SharePoint Framework? Why did we did SharePoint Framework? And what does it actually do? Really around the who can use and where does it actually work? So really cool set of things and explaining the value out of the SharePoint Framework. So obviously the focus for SharePoint Framework in the future will be more and more on the Microsoft Teams, as we in Microsoft, everything is focusing on Microsoft Teams as well. But it's of course it works in SharePoint Online as well. It even works in SharePoint 2019, not as well as in SharePoint Online, which has the latest and greatest, but still. Seb is smiling.
very good, which is very good, good and healthy.
I've been through it.
Now, Microsoft, this is good video actually from April Dunham. I think this has thousands and thousands of views already. She's doing a great job on these videos and explaining how things work. And having this kind of a 5 to 10 minutes overviews and summaries are super great. They're much more efficient than having a 45 minutes or 50 minutes.
Or like hour and a half in the show.
Like this show, yes. And this one, really cool, from Bob and Aika and Rabia. They're executing the Three Advocates. Valdex teammates are executing two different workshops from 13th until 15th. Two different workshops related on building with Teams and SharePoint, and then building with for Microsoft Teams using Graph Toolkit. So really cool stuff as well. And in multiple different time zones, which is important, so that people can actually then, depending on where they're located across the world, they can join them and watch them. Still heavily trying to promote the one time zone across the world model, but it doesn't just, I don't know. It'd be so easy. So right now it would be 4 p.m. your time, Seb.
Well, I mean, if the world was flat and we all got sun and
it's not
time.
It's not. What?
It's not. I don't know.
Okay. That, stay away from those discussions. Stay away.
As I said.
And this one is from Daryl as a service, DAS. So employee engagement with Yammer, SharePoint, and Teams and Stream. Kind of a summary discussion related on that one. So good video recording from there from the Ignite announcements together with Sarah, Daniel, and Daryl. So really good good coverage. This one is from Lorian Strand. Team governance is not same as Microsoft 365 governance, which is actually good perspective as well. So really focusing on explaining the differences as well. And then two more. This one is from Veronique Langwell. Get all the teams a user as part of using PowerShell BMP. So basically using the BMP PowerShell together with Azure AD PowerShell and then doing a smash and as an output. So getting the information around the users behind of the groups. So really useful stuff, absolutely. Looping. Loops are always so fun, much fun on the PowerShell. And then the last thing, just to call out, Hacktoberfest is ongoing, and most of the active BMP repos have been tagged to be part of the Hacktoberfest. So basically, as long as you have, is it two pull requests?
Four.
four. Okay, four pull requests.
Accepted. Yep.
Accepted. You will get a t-shirt which is looking like that. So pretty cool. So
yes,
encouraging people to actually again starting contributing and learning how things are working. So, and that's the article piece of today.
There is one more thing that we forgot and for which I've included a link in the chat. It's a thing that we include every week. And for some reason, we forgot it initially. But then I thought, hey, there's this one more thing. Point.
There's this one guy and one more thing.
Who keeps delivering every week. And it's just, I feel like we cannot do it not to include that. So
yes. Absolutely. So Paolo has a new video related on Microsoft Teams extensibility and what are the different options. And he's actually referring also to Laura's great blog post related on what are the different extensibility points in Microsoft Teams. And I think we still need to focus. We have some plans on focusing on explaining those more efficiently in the future as well. And what are the different options and what are the different tooling. I think he shared a really cool slide which is explaining what are the different options between different tool sets and so what you can actually build right now given the current limitations or current implementation of the tool sets. And obviously Microsoft Teams toolkit is for everything and then that has a separate specific that's all JavaScript unless I'm completely mistaken. Correct. And then Yo Teams is server side plus client side and so TypeScript and then SPFX is TypeScript but because it doesn't have the server-side implementation, it doesn't also have the bot. Messaging extension, well, debatable, but you still need to have a backend for that one as well. So, cool. Good video from Paolo for sure. So, and he keeps on delivering this every single week as well, which is super, super great. And he is learning to smile. See? Sorry, Paolo, it's an ongoing, long-lasting joke as well. Cool. So, Seb, what's up with you? Anything, any news from your side? What's happening?
Huge. I was just on vacation a couple of weeks ago, so I've been totally disconnected. Came back to work last week in a super, super, super intense rush of like 5-6 weeks. We're launching two different products in the next few weeks, and we're launching one tomorrow. And we're really, you know how it is, well, like when you get to a launch, it's like everything seems ready until it's really ready. Yes. So we're in that phase.
I can relate on that as well.
So we're in that phase right now. A really, really cool offering that we bringing all of our Valo has been known for a long time for its intranet capabilities. Now we're bringing it back to Teams and fully integrated within Microsoft Teams. So that's going to be great, kind of a way to offer the full digital workplace as part of Teams. So that's one of our offering called Valo Connect. And then we'll have our entrance, kind of our user management piece that's coming in the next couple of weeks. So that's going to be a very, very intense month of October. But I decided that I will commit to the Hacktoberfest, so I will do my four PRs in there. So that way, because I just want a T-shirt. Actually, I'm more of a T-shirt geek. Exactly, yeah. It's all about the swag. So that's what's happening. Quite a lot of things happening, and we're gonna rush for these products. We're in lockdown here, so. I have a lot of time.
Yeah. I have to ask now that I have you here, because I know that you're using a lot of SharePoint framework in the Microsoft Teams. Can you explain why are you doing that? Just out of curiosity, because what's the value for you on doing that? If I wouldn't know, but it's just to in your case and your perspective.
I see it in two different areas. The first one is the skill set. All of our devs are SharePoint framework developers. Yeah. And in a click, actually, in one manifest edit, they all become Teams devs, which is great. So for us, it was a huge gain. We could get to have a Teams app in changing a couple of lines of code, and boom, we're done. The other area is the simplicity of using an SPFX tab instead of a React-based Azure site or whatsoever. The hosting, we don't have to host anything. It's all hosted magically. The fact also that the hosting is contextualized to where you're running it from. So if you're running it from a Teams tab, you actually are running it from this site, which is great because now having access to the underlying list, you don't have to, whatever, you just give me the list of that site collection and then boom, it's all there.
Yeah.
The authentication pieces, because everybody knows it's easy to do authentication. the fact that the Graph, Azure AD, SharePoint framework, it's all connected. I just need to specify the permissions I need and boom, we're good to go. This saves a ton of headaches. And I think it's also seen from an admin point of view as a plus, because they only need to go in the admin center, approve, they exactly know what we're asking for. It's in there. They know what their entire tenant is asking for. So I think it helps a lot. And in the end, we could just go to market a lot faster with that. So those are the reasons why we're leveraging the SPFX.
Cool.
I couldn't bypass the opportunity of asking that. So
That's okay.
Cool. Anyway, I think that's it for now. We're running out on top of the 1 hour time.
Definitely. Sorry about that.
No. It's all good. I spent too much time on chit-chatting on random stuff as well. So I think thank you, Seb, for setting up things. Thank you for people who were asking questions. And thank you for people for providing the feedback. Keep on providing the feedback, not only for us, for everybody else in the community and open source, the people who are active, they definitely need it. Providing positive feedback is the easiest way for people to feel that somebody values their work. And it's just how the open source and the community is better and works. So that doesn't make any sense, almost.
Well, so with that, let me close with a thank you for sticking with us for the 100 episodes.
Yes, absolutely. And we're not going to stop here. I think we have 101 episode already scheduled, unless I'm completely mistaken.
Yes.
So we'll be back within a week.
Yes.
That's what we do. So thanks, everybody. And thank you for watching. Thanks for listening, whatever is your chosen method. And we'll be back. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers.